The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, round is it Kingy? Round seven, is it? Round eight. Cats are 4 and 3, aren't they? So it's round seven. Maths was...
No, so it's coming into round eight.
Yeah, maths was never really a...
No.
Sort of a strong point.
How much money did your parents waste on your St. Joseph's education?
A little bit. I helped me through. It was all right. It got through.
Look at you now.
Yeah, look, flying.
How's the week been?
Flying. Yeah,
It's been a sad week. Look, can we touch on the sadness of the week?
Of Frank Costa?
Yep.
Yeah, it was... He's been great for the Geelong community, not just the Geelong Footy Club.
Yeah. I think that gets lost a little bit in Frank's contribution because the last 20 years it's been the Footy Club.
Yeah.
But prior to that, Frank's contribution to the Geelong community was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
And it's not just, and it's stuff that you actually don't know about. Frank was never about Frank. Frank knew he had money and Frank knew what to do with that money. But he didn't do it because he wanted Frank Costa up in lights. He did it because he wanted the community that had, I suppose, given him so much, he wanted to give back to.
Yeah, he did. I think he had a few good old-fashioned values too, which not everybody has these days. But, it was a sad day, and I knew he'd been crook from a few weeks ago, and I didn't realise that he was sort of, going to be passing away within a couple of weeks, but I knew that he wasn't well, obviously, and he was great for as you said, the community and the footy club at a crucial time for the footy club, so gave them a little bit of stability. He didn't mind every now and then he'd speak his mind, and look, he was happy to say what he thought about the footy club, and and if somebody bit, he'd bite back, it'll be a sad day, and yeah, it happened to all of us, King, at some point.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
83, Vale Frank Costa, and thank you for what you did, because if it's not for Frank Costa and his foresight on a couple of football club matters, the Geelong Football Club as an AFL entity may not exist anymore.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, there's a few people that were headlining the Cats, and he was one, and it was great to see him there for the premierships. I think he was also much loved by the players, which... I don't know that every president is. Some of them probably keep a real distance. I think Frank was one that he knew when to keep his distance, he knew when to get involved, and the players seemed to really enjoy his company, and he probably had a great ability to talk to the bloke who had 3 cents and the bloke who had 3 million. You know what I mean? He had that sort of way about
it. Common touch.
Yeah, he did. He had a bit of a common touch.
I think he and the skipper had a good relationship.
Yeah, well, just reading some of the messages from some of the players, you could tell that it was heartfelt, and they had a relationship with him, and he was a beloved figure of the football club. Yep.
So we'll farewell him at some stage. I still haven't got word, this is being recorded Thursday afternoon, on how the funeral looks. They have been offered a state funeral, but I'm unsure of whether that's been accepted and what that would all look like, but I suspect that will all unfold next week. It's also been a big week, Benny, at the Bull.
Yeah, it's been, how good's the Bull? So, yeah, it's been a big week. I was down there on Tuesday and Wednesday.
How was things in the grey and pink?
We won the Wongoom. And we won the final race on day one. But, yeah, look, it's been a lot of placings. So very hard to win down there. It's competitive racing for pretty ordinary prize money, to be honest with you. But, so it is hard to notch a winner. We've managed to snag two, and we got the old champ going around in the grand annual in about an hour's time.
All right. So by the time we've posted this, that will have been run on one. So head to racing.com to watch the replay. What are we looking out for if we do get this up before the horse we're looking for from the wild stable?
Which in the grand annual.
Yeah.
Well, the old champ's gold medals. He's an unbelievable sporting story. Don't worry about just racing. He's competing in his 12th race in the May Carnival. His 4th grand annual.
Wow.
And this is the 9th time he's been to the May Carnival.
Unbelievable.
So he's raced in the 2-year-old race.
Yep.
And he's had 11 other starts. And he's won the Grand Annual. He's finished second twice. And he's going, he's 11 rising 12. And he's there for the 12th time. But I don't think it'll ever be repeated. So he won a 1,000 metre race as a 2-year-old.
Yep.
and he won the grand annual over 5,500.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So, yeah, it is unbelievable. So, yeah.
It's got an ESPN 30 for 30 about it.
It has, yeah. It would. I'd be making a good one. Who'd, I don't know what who'd play. I don't know. There'd be a few parts that you need to be played.
Who would play the part of Simon Wilde?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to get someone who's sort of beautiful.
George Clooney.
Yeah, it'd be a good one, actually. Yeah, probably. So, no, it is. It's just a good story.
Who plays Bill?
Yeah, Bill sort of, well, yeah, Bill's a bit of a Sean Connery lookalike, so we need someone who's...
Sean's no longer with us, unfortunately. So,
no, he's not. I don't know who we might be able to get. Maybe Elf Stewart from Home and Away.
Ray Ma.
Yeah. So anyway, no, look, it's for those who are not interested in racing, it's a pretty unbelievable story what he's doing.
And if you can't get caught up in the... I think the May Carnival's more than just racing.
Yeah.
Like, it's the autumn equivalent of the Melbourne Cup Carnival, but on a smaller scale. But it's the one that people know and...
Well, it's schoolies for 40-year-olds.
It is.
It's just they sell a lot of refreshment down there. There's a lot of people stay hydrated for 3 days. So I saw a couple other callers down there. Bruce Eva was down there.
Yep.
So down there for the... he was down there yesterday and today. And they were off to the Warrnambool Dogs last night.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so look, it is... And you catch up with people, you know, you see people from... all over. You'll go down there, I guarantee you run into 15 people you know.
Yep.
So, no, it was good, and the weather's been fantastic. It was a bit cold Tuesday. Yesterday was great, and today's even better. So, yeah, no, it's a beauty.
All right, let's move on to footy. Benny, we're still getting ahead around the fact that the umpire would call play on for a kick off the boot halfway through flight, and it wasn't even halfway through flight. It was at about 9 metres when he called play on, and the ball went 21 metres, and Jeremy Cameron was denied the chance to win the game.
Has there been any official word on that?
Yeah, the AFL came out and said they got it wrong.
Right, okay.
On Sunday, yeah. So I know you've been tied up with races, but it has been well and truly discussed. And look, if the Cats – and Chris – I thought Chris Scott handled it really well post-game. He said – we had our chances in other parts
of
the game.
I do agree with that. Geelong shouldn't have been in that position.
No.
26 more inside 50s against a young team.
And 28 points up at quarter time.
And you're allowing them to get back into the game. Yeah, look, and there's no guarantee that Jeremy Cameron would have kicked the goal.
No. He wouldn't have been able to come right out on the J-curve. He would have had to have started on the fence and really bent it back.
Yep.
That's now two losses of Cats or Roo.
Yeah, I reckon Garth LaRue.
Yeah, Garth LaRue, good cricketer.
Yeah. So they're going to Garth LaRue that one, I'd say. And the Adelaide game. Because Adelaide.
But then, as the skipper said, a bit of karma, potentially.
With Brisbane.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And
so the swing, what you're
Geelong, yeah. So the Brisbane win, okay. Brisbane are back in town, thumped Port. So that was a good win.
Yep.
They've beaten North.
Yep.
And Hawthorn.
Yep. And the Eagles.
And the Eagles, yeah. Who had half their team in Perth.
It could be it's going to be very tough Friday night. If I usually go to the game, a Geelong game, and most Geelong fans for the last 15 years have gone to a game of football involving the Cats game, where a chance today. I go tomorrow night thinking Geelong will do well to get within 4 goals.
Yeah, I don't know. This is the sort of game I have this feeling Geelong will win.
No.
It's a big one. Richmond are without Grimes, that's a big loss.
Yep.
Cochin, I don't know that he's a good player, but I think they can cover him.
Martin have lost and back.
Presty is not in, is he?
Don't believe so. No,
he's still out. He's a big loss for them. Is Vlorsten in? He's the one that... Yeah, if Vlorsten and Grimes are out, that makes their defense.
He was listed as a test. The other one's Lambert too. Lambert,
yeah, Lambert's out.
Lambert plays well against the Cats.
Yeah. So they got a few out. Martin comes back in. Vlorsten's the one for me. If Grimes and Vlorsten are missing from the back half, that they're significant pieces out of their back half.
That's great, but Geelong are going to win enough ball in the middle.
Yeah, they will. Well, they won plenty of the ball in the middle on the weekend. Mm. They 26 more, 63 inside 50s to 39, and they lost. Mm. What the hell?
Once again, your math's not very good.
That's 24. That's 24. But someone said it was 26. I thought it was 65. I reckon they took two off the Cats. I reckon the champion dad have gone back and thought, no, that wasn't an inside 50. So I'm pretty sure I saw 65 straight after the game. But, yeah, look, I think they'll win plenty of the footy. I don't know. Hawkins will play well. He had a bad one last week. He missed a couple of shots. And Cameron will hopefully be better. I think that, yeah, look, I'm a bit different to you. This is the sort of game Geelong will find themselves getting up for. Mm. I know they'll play well. Whether or not they'll win, they're playing because they're playing a very good team. Unfortunately, the Cats have been Richmond's bunny a little bit.
They have.
Over the last few years.
I don't think they've beaten them since mid-2019. They gave them a touch-up.
I think they've won 6 of their last 7, haven't they?
Yeah.
Was that down here?
The last game down here was late 2017. That was a game that
Guthrie... Oh, they beat them at the MCG, didn't they?
Yeah, mid-year.
When they had a few out.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was mid-year 19,
yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And the Cats, I reckon, went cocoa bananas in the second quarter.
Let's put it, any game that's had real meaning...
Geelong lost.
Yeah. Of more recent times against the Tigers.
The last one they won of any meaning was the one down here where Guthrie did the job on...
Yeah, that was late in the year.
Late 2017. And that had meaning because that was all about... positions on the ladder.
Yeah, and then they lost to them.
Yep, in the final.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think Geelong will play well. And
you've got more confidence than me. It's usually the other way around.
Yes, that's true.
So get on the Cats.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd get on the Cats, but I think that, look, I don't know. Last week was... their good players played well. They had more of the ball. They had everything. I don't know. I'm not sure what happened.
Mm. Inaccuracy.
They were certainly on the back foot after quarter time. It was a struggle. Mm. Even though they were, I mean, some of those inside 50 I think can be a little misleading.
Yep.
That ball that dribbles 2 yards over the line and is counted as an inside 50 but then rebounds at 4 miles an hour.
Yep.
They weren't the real deep entries, so it wasn't. But if you're at least getting the ball to that point, you're controlling it. You're getting enough of it. So they just weren't able to – what did they kick, 12-16? Yeah, so they need to kick straight and...
Yeah, you kick 16-12, we're talking about a four-goal win and going great result.
Good start. Yeah, they need a good start. I wouldn't want to start poorly against the Tigers. Although the Tigers did start poorly against the Bulldogs and then gave them the biggest can of whoop-ass you've ever seen.
This is Richmond, though. This is a Richmond team who have been very good for 5 years.
Yeah, they are good. Yeah. Martin back and, I don't know. Prestia, I'm just hoping Vlorsten doesn't play.
I think he's going to be right.
Yeah. Well, he's a very good player. Yeah. I don't like him when he's in the team because he gets in the way a lot.
He's a good player. The Cats have got a decision to make. So all three ruckmen, Fort, Stanley and Radicalea, have been named in the VFL tonight. Now, that's it's a 30-man squad. They've been named in position. Fort as the ruck, Radicalea at centre-half, Fort, Stanley in a forward pocket. One journalist, Mitch Cleary, tweeting, and I think he tweeted basically that Radicalea was playing AFL tomorrow night. Is that at the expense of Stanley, or is he coming into the side and they're playing basically one game? Two. Yep.
How did he play in the second one?
He played against Sydney last week. Yeah, solid enough. Yeah.
I just don't. These Russian guys.
Well, considering they've been saying they were going to play the long game with him, that would surprise me if they. I would be surprised. Well, Mitch's mail would have to be pretty good for him to go and tweet that. And I suspect that he's playing.
Yeah, a player like Radicalea, I don't know what you'd expect from him off two VFL games. I would have thought he'd need a minimum month, even five, to get some. So he's dominating the VFL rather than just going okay.
I would have thought that he would have been. You would have.
He
seen,
can't ruck. He can't play in the ruck all night. No way.
Here we go. Mitch Cleary. Salvo Radicalea will return for Geelong's grand final rematch against Richmond on Friday night. A different look for the Cats in the ruck.
Well, I'd find that one of the most staggering decisions since... Who made a really staggering decision?
The Jeff Fenwick fight at Princes Park. No, it wasn't at Princes judges. Park. No, that wasn't at Princes Park. It was the one in Vegas. Was that a Zuma Nelson?
Yeah, when he that's right. Don King sorted that out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Old Don. Don made. I think Don Zuma was in Don's camp, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
I think we can say that now because Don's no longer with us. So,
yes. I'd be staggered if unless they're playing Stanley as well.
Well, I think they have to play both, don't they?
He played poorly last week. He was good the week before. One of the problems with Reece Stanley is that I just think you don't.
This dents his confidence now.
Oh, if you put him out of the team.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets to the final quarter last week, and Tom Hickey looked like a cross between Gary Dempsey, Polly Farmer, Len Thompson, and Barry Round in the third quarter. Like, he was...
Talk about a renaissance in one's career at club number four.
Yeah, and if...
And he was coming off... He shouldn't have been playing. Apparently, the injury he suffered a couple of weeks before, he was... done and dusted for 6 weeks.
And if he was a racehorse, as soon as he came off the track, the stewards would have been over and he would have had to provide a few samples because so Stanley's had his pants pulled down. He's sitting on the bench to start the final quarter. Yeah, okay. Mark Blitzov's in the ruck.
Rotations had a little bit to do with that. Geelong were limited on rotations.
Yeah, but that's, I don't care. You can throw up any, if that was, that Geelong's excuse, was it?
Oh, no, it wasn't their excuse, but it was pointed out.
They've taken their ruckman off the ground and put their fullback in the ruck because they'd lost complete faith in their ruckman.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened. I don't care about rotation. So why couldn't he start the last quarter and then come off?
Yeah.
And give you a bit of a thump in the last quarter because they didn't want him in the ruck.
No.
And then when he went back into the ruck, he got his pants continued to get pulled further
and
down.
And Blitz Arves played very well.
Yeah, Blitzos gave them something in the ruck. Do you know what? Please.
You're right, Benny.
I'm
going to have a conniption.
No, I'm going to have a mild cardio infarction in a minute. Have you ever had one of them?
No, I haven't. Well, I know what they are, though. They're to do with your heart.
They're not good.
No. Have you had one?
Well, I'm about to. If I see this again on Friday night.
You're right.
If I see Mark Blitzos try and kick the ball on his left foot.
He just seemed to get pushed to that
side.
Oh,
my God. And he's not a good kick anyway. He gave us a bit of thump out of the ruck, but what we needed was long kicks high to the top of the square, not some absolute dribbler off to the
half forward flank
to the Scheisenhausen.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know. You got to check his brands. He's not Morris Rioli. So when the stewards come and they check your brands and make sure the right horse is running, they're saying, "Yeah, this is Mark Blitzer. This isn't Andrew McLeod or bloody." Just do the flaming basics. Don't swing onto your left. You're a crap kick. Please, for God's sake.
Well, he got pushed onto his left. He didn't swing onto his left.
Well, if you're going to kick it on your left, be flaming good at it. Don't be crap at it. So
Hang on. I watched the number one draft pick last week from 2018.
Who's that?
Sam Walsh.
Yeah, he can't kick it.
He can't kick on his non-preferred. So if he can't do it, what do you think an ex-steeplechaser is going to be able to do?
I just find it staggering that the preeminent skill of the game, a Brownlow medalist that plays for the Cats, is a poor kick. So I don't understand. We're the only game in the world where you can be way below average in the preeminent skill of the game and still be considered the best player.
Still be good.
Do you reckon that's what you would classify as an anomaly?
Slightly.
Yeah. So
did you want to get an anomaly in?
I just tried to get that in.
You did well.
I did a little. Infarction when that happened too. So anyway, Mark, stop kicking on your left for crying out loud, because those kicks, I think you had 3 clearances. All of them end up going out of bounds.
Yeah, or out near the 50. Yeah.
If it had been a long ball, suddenly the old sweaty bum crack, as Blue McGrath like to call it, for the defence. Mm. There's no sweaty bum crack when it's heading off over towards the scoreboard, the ball. Like, jeez, anyway.
Talking about the 17, did you see him in the ball? He's usually there every year.
Yeah, no, I didn't see him there.
Cross paths with
I just was doing a bit of.
You were actually work? Were you working?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, so I didn't.
Do you work?
Yes, I was.
Really?
I was out. I was doing a bit of work, and then I was. Yeah. Anyway, but anyway, look, the Cats. I reckon they'll play well. I'm not sort of guaranteeing anything because you end up looking like a fool. But I know that they'll play well. Whether that can translate to a win, I'm not sure. But I think they'll get Richmond at the right time. Grimes out. Prestia out, Cochin out, got matchups. See, this is the interesting one. If the ruck's going pear-shaped, if they bring in Radigalia, they can't then pull Mark Blitzarves out from defence and put him in the ruck.
Because you've got Lynch and Revolt to worry about, and no college, hasn't
he? I reckon they're setting up Radigalia to fail, unfortunately.
Is Jack Henry going to play as the backup ruck? And they're going to try and run Nankervis around, where Radigalia and Henry are a little bit more mobile.
No.
Is Henry...
You can't have Radigalia as your number one ruckman on the back. He doesn't have a great tank to start with. Mm-hmm. He's been injured. He's played 2 games of VFL, you expect him to be your number one ruckman.
Okay, so are they going to rely on then Henry and Henderson to be your key defenders? And they're going to run Blitzarves and Radigalia as your 2 rucks?
Henderson, I've said this before. He's not a bad... He got thrashed last week. He's too slow. Geelong are too slow. Mm. I think they're slow. Lockie Henderson is slow. Mm. He needs to be out for the structure of that defence. College Asney back this week?
No.
No. That will keep Henderson in. But yeah. Henderson, they're not going to drop Henderson, but I think they should for the structure of the defence. He's been okay. He had a howler last week. Some guy with...
McLean.
Teeth whitening.
Hayden McLean.
Yeah. He looked like Wayne Carey.
Yeah.
So we never heard of him.
He'll never play like that again.
Probably not. But no, Lockie Henderson doesn't pay any respect to these guys.
Higgins potentially back.
Yeah, he's back. He could have played. He might have been able to get in last week, so I think he'll be back, but he's probably a bit rusty. Anyway, well, wait and see, King. It's a good opportunity for the old Pussycats, I reckon. If they lose on Friday night,
yep.
And they play well and lose, I reckon there's little it's not like going helter skelter, but there is a little alarm bell going off.
Because you've become 4-4.
I don't give the record. The fact that you've played well against Sydney and couldn't win.
Yep.
And then you come up against a good team, play well and don't win again. I reckon that's when you can have a bad day, like West Coast did against Geelong.
Yep.
Then you think, okay, we'll just put a line through
Move on.
But I don't think you can put a line through 2 weeks in a row when you actually play right and don't win.
Yep. You want some questions?
Yep.
Who do you think's first?
Daz.
Can't express the sadness regarding the news around Frank Costa. You know, all I'm a Mad Cats fan. I never met him, but I feel like I've lost an iconic uncle. Many will express better than I can about his impact and what he did for the club. But suffice to say, Geelong is a poorer place today in his absence. Condolences to the Costa family, the club, and Cat fans everywhere. Talking about losing the pillars of the club, Wellesley potentially stepping away, Cookie leaving at season's end, and Frank and Vic Fuller both passing. That's a lot of loss in one season. That's a lot of bronze to melt for the statues out the front of KP.
Do you think they'll do a statue?
For Frank?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be out of place.
Well, it won't be for Kane Tenace. Do you reckon they'll do one for Frank?
I would have thought.
Yeah, I reckon they might.
Why did you get Kane Tenace into that?
Well, because you said for Frank as if it might have been for somebody else.
Right. Well, it's Cookie and...
What's Wellesley doing? Is he still there?
Don't know. He's still there.
Yep. Have they just got a lever hanging off his...
Not sure.
A brick hanging off a lever.
On a lighter note, did Benny lose the plot entirely through the Bengals 2021 NFL draft as he brought his Burrow and Chase jumpers yet? Can you explain for us? I haven't seen the NFL draft.
So the NFL draft was last Friday.
Yep.
And the team that I love dearly and follow religiously.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Who are putrid.
Yep.
Longest running streak in the NFL of not winning a playoff game, 30 years.
Wow.
We drafted a wide receiver who, when he was drafted, this is what makes me laugh, because the AFL draft tries to be something like the NFL draft, and it unfortunately
falls short.
Like short's sort of an understatement, King. It's it's sort of like Tony Bahagia short. Like it's
that's
tiny.
That's short.
Yeah, it's Caleb Daniel short. Because so they flash this dude that the Bengals picked up from LSU, a wide receiver, and he's got a white suit on and sunglasses. And I thought, wow, there's just so much bling going on. Anyway, so we've got we are going to be one of the most exciting teams in the NFL next year, King, or this year.
You bet you were hoping for that last year, and Burrow lasted how long?
No, he lasted 11 games, and then his knee did his MCL, his ACL, his PCL, his VCL, his ACL, every CL you've got in your rig, he did it, unfortunately. But he's on the way back. Anyway, so that was that NFL draft is such a production. It's and they've got tape, they've got film on 200 players that they can play, and they talk about them, and we just don't have that because they see them play college.
Well, and those kids play for 4 years from 18 to 22.
Well, not all of them, because some of them will opt out.
But majority do play that 4 years, 18 to 22, and every game is broadcast, as opposed to, you know, a kid that comes out of the Geelong Falcons, the game's filmed, but it's not.
No,
it's not commentated on.
No, it's not. And last year was a bit different because a lot of the players opted out of the season for college.
Yep.
They didn't play, but yeah, they've just got us covered. We're trying to find our niche, and you know, theirs goes for 3 days. Their draft. So rounds one and one night, rounds two and three on the second night, and the rounds 4 to 7 on the next day. So
the blokes that will be off to training camp.
And the thing that I like, and what I reckon should happen in the AFL, so we draft a kid, and he's got to have what minimum of 1 year, 2 years, depending upon.
Depends. 2 years as a national draft, 1 year as a rookie.
Yeah. So you have to have that.
Yep.
What should happen is you should be able to draft someone, and at the end of you're drafting a kid who's you don't know.
Yep.
So what these guys that get drafted in the latter rounds of the NFL, they're no guarantee to be on that team.
No.
All it gives them is a crack to go and train.
They're fighting.
Why
for the spot.
We don't have that system whereby at the end of your preseason you cull X, Y, and Z, and another team, if they wanted to pick up X, Y, and Z, could pick him up.
Well, it'll be to do with the players.
Yeah,
agreement.
But it should. Hopefully it happens because we follow everything else in the NFL. Mm. Salary cap. We'll have franchise players that will come in. I've got absolutely no doubt. So the whole system of being able to get rid of a bloke who you've brought into your system and you don't think he's up to it, that should happen in the AFL.
Yep.
We shouldn't have to have a bloke who you've drafted. He doesn't necessarily need to be on your team for that year.
He can go to the Canadian football.
Well, he can go wherever he likes, but another team might be able to pick him up.
Yeah. If we play the game we played versus the Swans against the Tigers this Friday and kick better, will it be enough to win? Point being, is better accuracy enough to get us home, or do we need to lift another gear?
I think probably a combination of both. Accuracy would help. I think they need to be a little bit more efficient. Going forward, there's got to be a little bit more connection. It was sort of back to the rounds 1 to 5, in that there wasn't a lot of connection going forward. So Geelong had all these inside 50s.
And on the smallest ground too in the comp.
Yeah, something was missing. There was a lot of this rubbish kicks inside 450 that nowhere could mark. So it needs to be both that better accuracy and a bit of a lift from sort of just with the way they move the ball.
Cosmic Energy. Hi, Benny and Kingy. Long time listener, first time question asker. It was not quite as obvious in the Sydney game as the Melbourne game, where the D's routinely took on the Geelong tackler. But do you feel the opposition teams don't rate Geelong's physicality? The current crop is not exactly full of uncompromising types, and Selwood might be the only one truly in that mould. Milburn, Scarlett, Chapman, Ling come to mind from our recent flag era. We know Stanley's limitations in this area again set a bad tone. Not saying we're soft, just that we are missing the ruthless competitors that seem to be part of most great sides. That's a good observation.
Yeah, it's probably is something in that. I mean, we've spoken about it before, haven't we? That other team of 10 years ago, they just had some.
But there's
Joel Corey, James Kelly.
There's no overt or extrovert characters in this Geelong team, really, as opposed to that era. And who were and you're right, the word is ruthless. Geelong were ruthless between 07 and
08. Yeah, they were. And there's probably is something in that. I think they've got, you know, Cam Guthrie is a good tackler. You know, Mitch Duncan.
Tommy Atkins.
Probably not. Tommy Atkins is.
But Cam Guthrie's a nice guy. I say that as in his personality is very good in terms of, you know, a human being.
He's not feared.
But he's not. But like, if you had Max Rook running at you at 100 miles an hour, what were you like?
Or Cam Mooney?
What would your eyes do, Benny? Who were they like?
What?
If Max Rook was running at 100 miles an hour at you, how would your eyes go?
They'd probably go a bit like a sort of.
I was hoping you'd go the man in the boat in Caddyshack.
Oh yeah, but the whites of his eyes, and they just that. Yeah, you would go a little bit. I was thinking of something else, Kingy. It would have got us off the Curse Eye Cat Attack podcast, probably.
Yeah,
unfortunately, a bit of. You'll cut that out.
Yeah.
Don't cut it out. I didn't say anything. People will know what I'm talking about. I thought you were talking about those eyes. I thought, hey, where are we going here?
No.
Don't cut that out. No. I don't want to listen back in here.
You don't listen back.
Some of
it.
The stuff. You don't yeah, I do. I do. Only because sometimes I say things and I wonder whether they've slipped through to the keeper. And a lot of the times they're on the cutting room floor. And I think, well, you know, I'd love us to have one where we just. Where everything that gets cut up goes out on sort of like a, you know,
Christmas
on
day.
The black market, sort of
the dark web.
Yeah, because Kingy does. I have to tell you, Kingy does cut a lot of stuff out that he thinks I'm flying close to the wind with.
Because we are still bound right by commercial radio.
Yeah,
codes
which
of
is
practice.
Which is I reckon you know. Look, yeah, anyway, but actually a really good observation.
Ben. I could actually send you the audio file and you could edit it up and you could publish it to krockfootball.com.au and all that, and then you can deal with the consequences.
Yeah, no.
I didn't think you were in a hurry to do that.
We won't want to be doing that, but...
No, that's right. I'll look after this.
Anyway.
Howler 41 feels like a broken record, but the ruck situation is, well, I like this word, diabolical. We all know Stanley isn't getting a million hit-outs, but generally he's pretty good at following up. But Hickey beat him in his own game. The way Hickey strolled out of the middle was a sad indictment on our midfield. It surely is one of the four players in there could have pressured him. Geelong were on the back foot in that midfield. They were reactionary for a lot of the night, from quarter time onwards.
Yeah, they were, which is... it was, I don't know, it was frustrating. You know, everything was... They were on top, and then after that, it just became... There was no flow in what the Cats were doing. They were really just sort of treading water, trying to keep Sydney at bay, you know. In the end, you sort of got the feeling it was only a matter of time before they, you know, they were getting the odd goal, but it was nothing. There was no system to what they were doing, which is a concern. And, you know, I mean, Chris Scott sort of saying, what did he say a couple weeks ago? The plan sort of coming together. And
he said this week, he said, even though they lost last week, he's still comfortable with where they're at. So
you could tell the players were clearly disappointed with that. And there's some losses that, that one I think stung a few, so that's why I'll be really interested to see the response tomorrow night.
Yep. NQ Flog, we lost the game at ground level, they were just harder at it when the ball hit the turf. Maybe time to give four to go in the ruck, and I'd bring in Sam Simpson for Myers. Simpson's been named in the VFL, but yeah, there is a spot up for grabs.
Yeah, but he's another one that's underdone. Yeah, how many underdone blokes can you have?
He's only had the two or three back.
I'm staggered. If Radicalea is playing, I'll be staggered. Well, he will. I reckon he will have minimal impact on the game. And that's, I actually like him, and I think he should be playing, not tomorrow night, but in about 3 weeks'
we'll
time.
We'll find out at 20 past six. And David the Cat, I know this is not a job.
Are the sides coming back out at Thursday night?
I think from next week. Well, the Cats will come out tonight. Because
there was a bit of backlash, wasn't there?
Well, the Cats were coming out the next two Thursday nights anyway because they're Friday night games, but I suspect by the time Geelong goes back to a Saturday in round 10, that we'll see the team on a Thursday night. David the Cat just wants to know about, did you see the Bailey Fritch incident? I actually haven't seen it clearly enough to comment on it. Do you see the Paddy McCartan one?
He just donged someone,
didn't
he?
Paddy's lucky to have only got five.
Yeah, what was he thinking?
I don't know. I don't think Paddy knows what he was thinking. He did mention he'd had some issue with his blood sugars. And having a daughter who has her own blood sugar issues, you know when she's not well, because she's got the egg of Brits with the world. Because
she's going to throw a haymaker.
Correct.
You have to be careful with that.
She's not a H.
So 5 weeks, that's not going to do him any favours, is it?
Well, takes it past the mid-season draft. Yeah. So somebody was, I don't think anybody was taking him anyway. I unfortunately think Paddy McCartan, as much as we love him, St. Joseph's boy, is going to be consigned to the annals of history of a number one draft pick that unfortunately...
Yeah,
just
the old annals. Have you ever been in them?
Benny?
What?
See you tomorrow night.
Rightio.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer, North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.